guys watch or watched, have watched any? Yeah, you have? Okay, all right. So if we were contestants on this show, I've always wanted to be. I thought, wouldn't that be good? Anybody ever think they'd like to be a contestant on? Yeah, like, right? Not for the prizes. Oh, who am I kidding? Yes, for the prizes and stuff and the money in the car and all that. I don't even know if you get to keep it or not because, you know, but you know, just to try and guess this stuff and probably to meet Steve Harvey as well. But if we were contestants on the game show Family Feud and we were asked to list words associated with Christmas, that's not what these words are necessarily, but and we were asked to list words associated with Christmas, what kind of words might you think of? And if you know what I'm speaking about this morning, don't cheat. But what would you think of words associated with Christmas? Just shout out a few. Hey, there you go. All right. Yeah. And so some of the words, those are some of the words that you would think of, right? And you might, you know, I think some of those were like joy, peace, goodwill, giving, family, things like that. One word we don't usually think of is actually one of what I think I see in the Christmas, original Christmas account. What one of the overriding feelings around the first Christmas was fear. It was fear. I mean, you won't see any decorations this year or on your Christmas tree that speak of fear at Christmas. Now, for some people, they do add a little fear to the festivity, and I didn't want to show any pictures of this, but in parts of Europe, I'm not sure if it's called St. Nicholas or Sinterklaas, but often arrives on a horse with a scary-looking helper, and usually dressed in or often dressed in blue, who has coal, and for some of you who know this term, switches or sticks to use on those who have been naughty. It's a terrifying time of year. You want to be good. In North America, Christmas is often accompanied with, Dickens and the Three Ghosts. And of course, there's always Jimmy Stewart and the troubled George Bailey. Maybe in our world today we have fears about the threats of war and terrorism that creep into the Christmas spirit. Maybe because of our hectic schedules, I heard some of those sort of words out there, because of our hectic schedules and demands on our time, there's always the fear that stress might ruin the festivities. I mean, fearing that stress might, it's we're already worrying in advance that stress might ruin something. Driving by the mall the other day, I noticed the line of cars trying to get in the parking lot, and I believe a little shudder went through my body. But it's pretty stressful if you don't bring along a lot of patience. And there are other things associated with this time of year that bring fear. Our fears are nothing new. In fact, we read about people in the first Christmas account who were fearful. There was fear, actually, in Palestine at the time of Jesus' birth, because first century Israel was an occupied country, taken over by the oppressive Roman Empire. Rome imposed tight control over the Jewish nation. There was reason to fear what Rome could do. Herod was a ruthless, vicious, unstable ruler. And the Roman army was not known for being nice to people. The slaughter of the innocent children of Bethlehem by Herod is just one example of his horrible tyranny. Yet we see that even Herod himself was fearful. Fearful that the Christ child he was hearing about, the one who would be king of the Jews, might one day take away his power. And he responded in a very tyrannical way. And so fear was a big part of Christ's first coming. Yet it was because of his very coming that hope was born into the world. Philip Brooks summed it up rightly in one of the lines from a carol he wrote called O Little Town of Bethlehem. It says this, you'll recognize this line, "The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight." The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. Hope and fear coexist in a state of tension, it seems, all the time, but I think especially at Christmas. Now, if we had it our way, I think if I had it my way during this month of celebration, we'd want our problems, our anxieties and fears to just go away. I mean, Christmas is supposed to be different, isn't it? No death, no funerals. No one should get a pink slip or get let go from their job during December. The word divorce wouldn't be mentioned in any home throughout Advent. No fighting, no arguing. Emergency rooms would be empty because no one would need them over the holidays. But that's not real. That's not even close. And Christmas isn't about the absence of fear or tough circumstances. Rather, it's about the presence of a Savior. Bio, come on up here with me for a few moments this morning. I just want to talk with you. He knows this is coming, so he's not freaked out. Can you pull that microphone off that boom over there, the low one, and just bring it over, and then you can use it. Jen's mic. Don't be shy. Just do it. Yeah, you got it. All right. Bio, I'm going to look at my phone because I didn't print this out. So last year at this time, I'm going to say last year, beginning of November, life's good. Got a job in the field of your training. You married to a lovely lady who is pregnant with your first child.
That's correct.
And then a Monday morning in November occurred. November 28th. You know that date, don't you? Why don't you tell us what happened on November the 28th that morning? Just tell us.
Well, it's one of the regular days that you go to walk.
Speak nice and loud. You have an inside voice.
Okay.
That you there you go. Just shout to the back row. See, there's a person in a hoodie in the very back there.
Talk
to
them.
Okay. All right.
All right.
Talk to that person.
On a regular Monday morning, very close to Christmas, I was heading to walk and having a lot of sprains in my feet that morning because it happens to be when I get the end of the year review.
Okay.
And I was due for a promotion. Yeah. And
you'd already had good reviews about your work, yes?
I did get a star award two weeks ago from my manager. So
2 weeks before this, you got a star award from one of your managers. That's always a sign.
That's very correct. And, I had a meeting with my manager, and she wasn't smiling, and she was like, you know what, this really hurts, sirs, and
business really
decision. It really hurts, sirs, but there's something that we had to do. Sorry, Bio, we have to lay you off. And it felt like a dream. I thought she was joking because I knew we were supposed to speak about my promotion, and, I got it, and I broke down right away because I just didn't know where to start from.
So you go in Monday morning, you have this meeting, talk about your promotion. You've had a star award 2 weeks ago, and they tell you you're laid off. Was that the word they used, laid off?
Well, that's the word.
As of?
November 20th.
As of Friday that week? Was it the end of the week that you were?
Nope, on a Monday.
Okay.
On the 28th.
Okay.
Yeah. So, so I had to go home and... I couldn't leave the parking lot. I was in my car.
How did you feel at that time?
Well, I felt like I needed to wake up from my nightmare and just hope that that never happened because it's what I never expected. You know, having a young career, had a co-op team, was hired back right after my graduation, so everything was going really smoothly and. Getting that was the last thing I ever expected. So
did you have any fear? You sat in that parking lot for how long?
About an hour and 15 minutes.
All right. And I think in our conversation you said you didn't know how to go home and tell.
Yeah, I had so much fears because she was already 6 months old pregnant, and I was hoping that the worst wouldn't happen if I tell my wife because I know she's very emotional. So I just didn't know.
Because she was pregnant, the hormones, yes.
Just helping you out, brother. That's very correct.
Right.
So, I was very afraid.
Now, so you've got all this going on. You said you were very afraid. You're experiencing that. This is a time of year where you're supposed to be excited and looking forward to, and Christmas is coming, and there is that whole sort of atmosphere. And here you are sitting in a parking lot, having just been let go from your job, not sure how you're going to tell your wife, and filled with fear.
That's correct.
So how did you fix everything? Did you fix everything?
I'd say I didn't fix everything on my own, but God has been very faithful in all the prayers and support. So, I haven't fixed everything, but I believe it's going to be fixed.
Did that make you feel like you had to lean in harder to God, or did that push you away from God?
Oh yeah. it pushed me so much, so close to God that I, you know, I had no choice. What do I fall on?
Did you have any doubts during that time? Did you have any kind of doubts?
I would say many times, and you know, I always appreciate the fact that I get all the encouragements from lots of people, you know, especially you, you know, just letting me know that it's...
Well, that's why I brought you up here this morning, is to let these people know how awesome and amazing I am.
Absolutely.
So you had to press on and carry on and keep going in spite of your doubts that you might have had, in spite of your fears. You had to keep going and press in and lean further into God. So one more question, Bao. Has God provided any answers, or are you still waiting, or is it both?
I would say it's a little bit of both. Yeah, he's provided answers and, you know, provided a job that I have right now that pays all the bills, even though I'm still actively searching for an IT job. But I'm very grateful for what God is doing in my life. You know, I couldn't be more happier. I have my son is healed and healthy, and my wife supports, and just about everybody praying for me. So, yeah, I'm very grateful to God.
Are we back in, yeah, I'm sorry, that was just my bad. See, you see what happens? You say how awesome you are, and then you just totally screw up. So, Bio, one of the other things that you guys have been going through, too, is in regard to permanent residence.
That's very correct.
And there was just some major, major stress that you guys have just come through, and you've been waiting on this sort of bridging your time here and being told that you have to leave or something like that. And so now just this past week, or in the past couple of weeks, you've received a bridge sort of permit.
Correct.
That means you've got another year.
Yep.
And while you're waiting for that year, you're anticipating and praying that that the permanent residence will come through.
Amen.
And by God's grace, that should happen, because the bridge usually goes hand in hand with permanent residence, and so it's a good sign. Yeah. Hey, thanks for sharing with us. Father, bless Bio and Mary and Daniel. And I pray, God, for your good and perfect job for him. And if that's in the field of IT that he's trained in, then great. If it's not, I pray you'd open his heart, his eyes, and his mind to what it is that you have for him. Thank you for your hand of provision. We pray that you continue to do that. And Father, we're praying together, and Bio does constantly pray about the permanent residence. And Lord, I just pray that that would come through, that whoever's looking after that, Lord, would just process that, and that we would be able to rejoice and celebrate together with them when that comes. And so we thank you. We thank you for their example. We thank you for their testimony. We thank you for their desire to serve you. And Lord, we're privileged to do that together. In your name, amen. Amen. Thanks, Bio, for sharing that with us this morning. Appreciate it. You can wire that up however you want. So fear is a real emotion. You know that. And sometimes, even during the Christmas season, but it doesn't have to control us, as Bio was talking about, as long as hope in God is available to us. And that's, again, what you just heard. Four times in what we refer to as the Christmas story, we find fearful people. Zechariah was one, Mary, Joseph, and the shepherds. Yet in each of their situations, they're confronted. Now, I didn't ask you if any angels appeared to you to tell you not to be afraid. I'm guessing, yeah, you didn't mention it, so that might have been a big part if it had. But these people that I've just mentioned, they're comforted by angels, and they're told, don't be afraid. You know, there's a word, probably a lot of you grew up with the phrase, fear not. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid is a phrase that appears over 100 times in the Bible. Don't be afraid. The first fear we'll notice is that of Zechariah. When an angel appears to him, he's the husband of Elizabeth. And they're a couple whose long marriage hadn't seen any children born to them. And they had given up on the idea of being parents a long time ago because they were both too old to have a baby. And by this time, they'd probably turned what they'd hoped would be their children's nursery into a storage room. All hope of being parents was gone. Yet in spite of his age, Zechariah insisted on taking his turn as a priest serving at the temple. And one day, a rather non-particular day, we read this. An angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. He isn't just afraid. I mean, he was gripped with fear. That's very descriptive. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John." Luke tells us that Zechariah was startled and gripped with fear. You see, people often thought that angels appeared mostly to bring death and destruction. But this angel said to Zechariah, "Don't be afraid. God's heard your prayer." And I believe that by His Holy Spirit, He says that to us today too. Don't be afraid. God has heard your prayer. And it's in this text here with Zechariah that we see the fear of the unexpected. Have you ever have, you hate it when this happens to you, but it's fun when you do it. Ever had someone jump out from behind something, or when you come through a doorway, they jump out and yell boo, you know, and scare you. And it's just, like I said, it's fun to do it to other people. But it's not fun having it done to you. For a moment, you're startled and you need to recover, right? What happened? Well, you just encountered the unexpected and it produced fear. Maybe even terror. Maybe it even got the one who scared you a hit or a punch. We'd much rather have our fears come with warning labels, wouldn't we? I mean, when we get on the roller coaster ride, we know what's going to happen. When we watch a scary movie for the umpteenth time, we know when the scary parts are coming and we can handle fear better if we're braced, if we're ready for it to appear. What's really frightening is when we encounter the totally unexpected, like if an angel shows up in full angel outfit, whatever that is, especially to answer a very old prayer, one that we had long since put in the hopeless file. That would be frightening. Zechariah was doing his best, and considering the disappointments and challenges life had brought he and Elizabeth. Life had kind of worn him down, and yet here it comes, a message of hope. Not just for his own child, but speaking of his own child, we read this, "For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born. He will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God. And he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." And so from being gripped with fear to receiving a message of hope, not just for himself and his wife, but for the world. Another case of fear we see is in Mary. We've talked about Mary already a couple weeks ago. In Luke chapter 1, verse 26 to 33, we find Mary receiving the message from the angel that she'll soon carry the Christ child in her womb. And here's part of that message. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus." Mary was afraid. Mary was afraid. But we see the angel tell her, "Don't be afraid." She was told that she was highly favored, a special person of grace. But again, think about it. Here's a young Jewish girl facing the prospect of being an unwed mother, a possible divorce, and a public disgrace. And right in the middle of a mandatory government census requiring hazardous travel from Nazareth to Bethlehem. You know, maybe Mary kind of had her life planned out. First she'd go to the high school prom and then college and university and then she'd marry Joseph and they'd build a nice little place with a yard in the back for the kids to play. And when they got older, you know, the kids would take care of them and they'd all go to the synagogue each Sabbath too. And pray for the Messiah to come soon. Then Gabriel shows up. One short, uninvited, and unexpected conversation, and everything changes. Everything changes. Most of us like to have some sense of control in our lives, don't we? I mean, we don't necessarily welcome the unexpected. We don't want our lives to be out of control. We like order and lists. We spend time organizing things so that our lives will be predictable. And then God shows up in an unexpected way. And that's when our fear factor rises significantly. Mary didn't doubt the angel. She believed him. But she still had to come to grips with the fact that her life was about to completely change forever. I mean, if what Gabriel had said to her was even half true, who was going to believe her story? Pregnant before marriage, but hey, it's okay because it was the Holy Spirit's idea. I mean, surely Joseph and her parents and all the local rabbis would all be right there to believe her. Not so much. I wonder if we're able to say in changing circumstances in our lives, I wonder how easy it is for us, or maybe how difficult it is to say in changing circumstances, in a God change of plans, to say as Mary did, may all the words you have said about me come true. May all the words that you have said about me come true. God might have a different job for some of us, bio, and we might transition into it in an unexpected way. God may want to involve you in some area of serving him, maybe even an area that you feel underqualified. Those situations are all breeding grounds for fear, but the antidote to fear is hope. Hope that brings courage. Psalm 46, verses 1 to 3 say this, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present or always present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. And he goes on to say, even though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, and though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging, I think it might have a little fear there. But therefore we will not fear, because God is our refuge, he's saying. You see, when our hope is in God, our fears can be dissolved. In fact, it's often been said that we're safer in a storm with Jesus than anywhere else without him. Let me move on to a third instance of fear that we see in that first Christmas story. It's, of course, with Joseph. And we talked about him last week, so I'll be brief with him today. But Joseph also needed reassurance. He feared public ridicule and criticism. I mean, what if the people in town thought that he and Mary decided not to wait? I mean, how could he explain a virgin birth? In Joseph's world, things were a mess. Joseph was going to divorce Mary. That's how they handled those engagements. It was called a divorce. Yet once again, an angel appears and says to Joseph, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Joseph was afraid. But in the message from the angel was the message of hope. Jesus would be born the hope of the world. And then finally, I just want to touch on one more instance of fear, and it came to a group of people, you know, shepherds watching over their flocks and fields just outside Bethlehem. I mean, their general fears were more based around predators and thieves. Now, they were anxious to keep their flocks safe from harm and from diseases. And they stayed with their sheep out in the elements. And it was there that the angels appeared to them. It says, and there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, yeah, I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. I mean, I wonder if at some point those shepherds thought they were being invaded. But they're reassured that this is a mission of peace, announcing the birth of the Prince of Peace. But it was a frightening experience. There was fear. I mean, they'd been minding their own business out in the fields doing whatever shepherds did. You can imagine because of their status in society and the work they did, they weren't even ritually qualified to go to services at the temple nearby. They were certainly not candidates to go to a baby shower for a king, much less the King of Kings. But God, with his divine sense of humor, invited them anyway. In fact, they were commissioned to be the very first evangelists. I mean, think about it. Shepherds, people not allowed in those days to give witness in court. A shepherd could not give witness in court because they were considered unreliable and the lowest of society. So people not allowed in those days to give witness to court in court were recruited to be witnesses to God's arrival in this world. Are you kidding? They were like pioneers. I mean, they faced the unknown that night long ago, and they overcame their fears. And they still stand as an example and an invitation to you and me to join them in celebrating the hope of the world this Christmas season, Jesus. You know, we know there are still many fear-filled unknowns. Some of them are in my life. Some of them are in yours. There are still many fear-filled unknowns for all of us to overcome with God's help. Zechariah, Mary, Joseph, and the shepherds all had to confront their fears, but they didn't get stuck there. They didn't get stuck there. And sometimes we do that. We get stuck in our fears, and we just keep playing them over and over again in our heads. But each of these moved on in hope, and so can we because of the hope we have in Jesus Christ. You see, God's solution to the fears, I'll say, of Christmas is the call to not be afraid. But he does more than that. He does more than just say, hey, don't be afraid. He does more than simply give us a command. He walks with us to the point that we can say, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. We have hope when we come to Jesus Christ, when we confess our sins, when we ask for his forgiveness, when we invite him to come and to be our Lord and Savior, and we turn away from those things with his help, we have hope. And hope disarms fear every time. The fears may still be there in our minds, but hope is greater than any and all of them. And the only way that we will overcome our fears is by putting our trust in Jesus and discovering the hope that he gives, even in our fears. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. Don't be afraid, folks. Hope is with you. His other name is Emmanuel, God with us. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the rich, rich, true promises of your word, that you are always with us, that you will never leave us or forsake us, even when we feel like it. Because there are times we feel like you're not there. There are times that we have doubts. But God, you have promised. I thank you for the hope that we have in you. And Lord, I pray if there's anyone here this morning that has never come to the place of recognizing before you their sin, and recognize you as Savior, that even this morning, just as we're sitting, they're sitting where they are, Lord, that they would just say, God, I'm a sinner. Forgive me. Lord, I confess my sins. And would you please forgive me and come into my life as my Lord and Savior? I might not even know what all that means, but you're faithful to your word, Lord, that if we confess our sin, you are faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And then to make us clean before you. How awesome, how incredible, things we can't do on our own, but we can because of the hope that Jesus brought to this world. Thank you, thank you, thank you. In your name, amen.